Blog Talk Radio.
There it is again, huh?
Well, it's been a crazy night. I wonder if there's a full moon or not, but this is Psychic X Journey Man. Welcome to the show. How are you? We've been having some crazy stuff going on with the freaking music. And for some reason, the volume got turned up, and for some reason, it won't go back down. Anyway, enough of the technical terms and technical problems. This is Psychic X Journey Man. Welcome. This is Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. I see the chat room's actually filling up, which is incredible. We can actually see the chat room because last week and yesterday, no cooperation. I don't know if it's Mercury going retrograde or what, but it's kind of like it's disturbing. So we're trying to not really focus on the disturbing parts, you know what I mean? And try to look at the positive solution. Let's see what we got here. So, Dee, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Well, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm still here, and I finally called my pastor this morning about getting some fuel. So he calls the fuel company and finds out that, yeah, they will deliver kerosene on Monday. So the guy that runs the company, it's a small concern, and I know the guy, late this afternoon he goes over my road, comes back by eventually, stops, checks my oil tank, and then goes back home again.
I guess you want to make sure it was empty, I guess, huh?
No, I think part of the reason is, I mean, if he could do that, he could have delivered me some kerosene. But it's been funny ever since this whole eviction thing really came to a head. I just figure, you know, it's just another one of those, gee, everybody's going to judge me without even knowing me. Oh, well, you know.
Politics,
but
right?
At least we've got people in here tonight.
Yes.
Yeah,
you could almost hear echo last night.
I know. Well, Martha said that she and Andrew listened for about 45 minutes. That was good. Well, it wasn't much to listen to last night. What the heck, Cap?
Well, I guess we'll just get more entertaining. Maybe we'll do, you know, song and dance for the people, you know? No. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. The old soft shoe.
There you go. You know, it's like, look at the situation, you know? Entertainment.
So how's your nephew?
It's a good question.
Yeah, well, he was having a gay old time last night.
Seemed like something was going on. People were kind of surprised when I sat and told my mom, and I asked my nephew, the one that lives here.
Yeah.
I was saying, so how's your cousin? Why? Well, we heard from him last night. He seemed like he's doing good.
That was
interesting in itself.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, well, it was kind of strange. And I was going to send everybody, hey, welcome to the show. And if you want to give a call in here and give us a couple of questions you'd like for us to answer, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, number is 646-721-9031. Go through the whole freaking situation. Go over your questions. Give us a call. It'd be great. So this is also the situation. People look at things and go, hey, do you do private readings? Yes, I do. And right now we got a good special going on until the 22nd of this month. And after that, prices go back to where they was before. You know, back to we're just doing a special thing right now. So when we sit here and look at the situation, if you want to give me a call and do a private session, all you got to do is give me a call at 740-500-8863 or give me a call on Skype at 740-601-9835 or contact me on my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And our prices right now are going for $33.33 for a 60-minute session. For a 40-minute session, it's only $22.22. And for a 20-minute session, it's only $11.11. We also have a one-card angel reading, which lasts about 15 minutes. And right now, those are going for $9.99. And if you want to have some extra time, we also do relationship counseling and kind of stuff. And people like to get readings from time to time with the cards and stuff. So we can actually do both sessions in one session, which I call it my 90-minute two-hour session. And those are only going for $77.77. And yes, if you call me on Skype and you have a webcam, I can actually do a palm reading for you too as well. And we can do aura readings and that kind of thing. And work with the spirits and that kind of stuff, give us a call at 740-500-8863. Okay? Let's go to our first caller, which will be area code 313. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name? And say hello to Dee.
Hello to the both of you. My name is Ibata.
Your name is what?
Ibata.
Ibata? Okay.
Yes.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How can we help you tonight?
I was calling to see if I could get a general reading.
Okay. Well, let's call up the general and see what he says. Anyway. I'm just, you know, people have called me on the, I work on my other sites too, and they'll sit there and say, hey, can I get a general reading? I said, honestly, I don't do general readings because all they do is give you general answers, and I'm really in specifics and details and insight. So it's not
okay.
Nothing to say. I'm not trying to be.
Well, can I have a detail? Can I have a detailed, specific reading?
Sure, no problem. If you give us a direction you'd like to go into, and the reason I say direction because it seems like there's a lot of questions that could go in so many directions, where it's like almost like asking which is more important to you. Now, I do keep picking up on a lot of things what has to do with relationships, picking up on some issues that you're having with yourself, and trying to make some decisions on what you want to do with your. Keep saying what you want to do with your life.
Well, I'm pretty clear in terms of what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty clear in terms of what I want to do with my life. I may not know exactly how to get going with it, but I'm pretty clear about that.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is when I get the messages, I just pass them on where it's saying, take a look. It doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's just the idea. A lot of times it's just really it's putting yourself into a situation of more detail. Sometimes the quickest way, sometimes the quickest way to actually get motivation is to sit down with a pad and pencil and start putting things together on how you could actually do that, things that come to you. Or just sit there, like I've done before, where you sit and go, okay, angels, where are we going today? And then, behold and behold, you know, a path will open up. So.
I did that last week, and I had, like, pages of information that I journaled.
Mm-hmm.
So that does work. I'm in a new place.
Where are you at now?
I'm in Colorado, mm-hmm. and I haven't been here that long, and I'm starting.
Whereabouts?
Westminster. Westminster. That's not far from Denver.
Okay, because I've heard it. Because it's kind of funny that you say that, because I'm actually planning on moving back to Colorado myself in about the middle of March.
Oh, really? Where?
Yeah. I'll be moving back to a place called Manitou Springs, which is about 5 miles up closer to Pikes Peak from Colorado Springs.
Okay, yeah. It's about 2 hours from here.
Yeah, because Denver is about an hour, because we used to go, when I lived there before, I used to go to church with the family. That lived in Colorado. Well, actually, I lived in Colorado. Where I was living at. But they lived in Monument.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to church in Denver. Big old church.
What was the name of it?
Good question. All I can remember is.
That's a new church. Never heard of it.
Well, I'm one of those people that when I'm riding with somebody, they're driving, so I really don't pay attention. And I usually. Especially when you go and it's like an hour drive, you have a tendency to take in the sights behind your eyelids. So and that's what I was. I was just like, okay, you got me up at 7:30 in the morning. You get me in a vehicle and I got to sit here for an hour. I pretty much fall asleep. We used to stop at, what's it called? Castle Rock, I think it was. We used to stop there for
I know where that is.
And we used to go to, that one I can remember, not really clearly, but I can remember it was a steak and seafood place. Besides that, I can remember. It was like a huge barn to me, where the outside the whole place and that kind of thing looked. And so, that was kind of interesting. Are you the one that's, there's someone in the chat room called Karen Kinsey. They're saying, I live in southwest Colorado. Is it a Colorado night, I wonder? Anyway.
Oh, yeah, she's asked Karen a question. I told her to hold on.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, we can answer all your questions. Just, you know, give us time to take care of the situation and the people we're with.
Right, because she wanted one on, in the chat room, and I thought we could do that, so I asked her to hold on because somebody's on the phone.
Right. So you just moved to Colorado.
It's been about a year and a half.
Right, so it's like there's still some things that are still falling into place with you and... How would you put that? It's like, I'm looking at the situation like, the word keeps coming to me is curiosity. You feel somewhat at home where you're at.
Yes, I do.
What's the one?
I love Colorado.
Yeah, and I would sit there and say it like this. I really don't get the idea that you like the cold too much either.
No, but it's bearable because it's beautiful. You know, Colorado has a different type of winter. It's very, very beautiful when it's... The snow was out there.
Oh, no.
I didn't think I would like it, but I do.
Yeah, I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, the first time I went to Colorado, it didn't cost me a dime. And the guy was like, how in the hell, how'd you do that? I said, you know something? I say focus, manifest, let it go, and let the universe do the rest. And I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, and I don't know. I'd gone through Colorado a couple times when I went to California, and I just liked it. It just seemed like, you know, I saw the beauty of it as I was going through it, so I always wanted to experience the beauty of it by being in it for a while. So I did. I had a situation where I was working for a psychic company. I was living in Wisconsin. And I was talking to some client of mine who I contacted, well, actually contacted me to that company. And we were just talking one day, and she... was talking about Colorado, and a couple of days later, or maybe a week later, she called me back again, said she wanted to get a reading, but she wanted to talk to me about something. And I'm like, okay. And I just said a week before that, I'd love to live in Colorado. That's all I said. And I let it go. And then this woman comes out of the blue and says, I'd like you to come to Colorado and work for me. I was like, really? Somebody pinched me. I think I'm dreaming here. But
is that why
you're
coming back?
Oh yeah, I had two shops out there. Where I just did nothing but psychic readings. I lived up the mountains. In the process of living in the mountains, like you, I don't like the cold. I don't like the cold at all. But I started living up there, and to give you an idea of the whole thing, when I lived in Manitou Springs, it was an accident. How I even found, I heard about this place. Everybody fell in time. You know, Manitou Springs, it's in a vortex, you got to check it out, you know. And I'm like, and at that time, on the bus, you'd have to pay 85 cents extra to go. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, most of us grab change, just, you know, get us from point A to point B. And one day out, my buses were like this, okay. We had two buses going up West Colorado Avenue. One's called the 11U, and one's the 11M, okay. So I'm going down through there. One day I was just anxious to get home, back to my apartment. You know, I was just done for the day, right? So the bus pulls up. I didn't even look to see what bus it was. I just jumped in the freaking bus. Next thing I know, the guy, because what happened with the 11U, it goes, the 11M goes straight. The 11U goes, turns and goes up where I live at. Well, all of a sudden I noticed this guy was going straight. I'm like, where you going, man? You know, did you forget your route or something? He's like, no, we're going to Manitou Springs. I'm like, this is embarrassing because I don't have 85 cents to go to Manitou Springs. And the guy looked at me and said, he just looked at me and said, just sit back and enjoy the ride. So I got to go to Colorado. I got to go to Manitou Springs. So I was thinking, things like that, when they start happening, I start looking for other things to pop into place too. And the process of going up there, I found this shop I really liked. I looked at this one place where I would like to actually live. And these things were all popping in my head. And I'm like, I remember walking up in front of this shop going, I want to work here. This is where I want to do the readings. And if I get a chance to do them here, I know for a fact this is what I'm supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of sit there and said, okay, God, angels, I put it in your hands, and, you know, if it happens, that's one of the biggest signs I can think of. They could actually point out to me, like, this is what you're supposed to do. So I also saw this other place called the Barker House, which I would like to live, but at the time, it was actually an old folks home or an old folks community. And I was trying to give them an idea what this place looks like. It used to be a 4-story house, and they turned it into 40 apartments. So it's a pretty big place. And a year later, a bunch of things fell into place where actually the woman who actually brought me out there actually put me in the situation of being homeless. And I sit there and trace it back and told everybody, I said, when you really get down to the point of the whole thing is, I can blame the woman, but I also got to listen to my angels and guides, which I wasn't doing at the time, which actually warned me that she was going to do those things. And I had fair warning before those things even happened. But everything happened the way it was supposed to, and I remember it was so funny because I heard rumors that the Barker House had been turned into apartments again. And I was like, my manifestations are working, because I was like, I was just centered focusing and saying, okay, if this place, if they could just turn it back into apartments again, it'd be great, because I'd love to live there, because it was almost like the center part of Manitou Springs. A year later, that's exactly what happened. They turned it back into apartments. And then, like I said before, I became homeless, basically. I was working for a hotel, and she helped me out for a period of time, and then I was on my own again. I'm walking up the street, and they sent me to this hotel. I didn't realize what the chain of events that were going to happen by just going and listening and going to this one hotel, which I did. And I found out later on that the lady who actually was managing that hotel that I went to, I found out later on her husband was actually managing the Barker House now. And that's where I got my first apartment. And after getting my first apartment, my landlord and this lady were walking around town. And next thing you know, they passed that shop, and somebody rented that shop out. They wanted a mail reader. His wife actually recommended me, and next thing you know, 2 days later, I was working in there. And why I ever left Colorado, someone should kick me in the ass on that one. But, you know, all those events happened, so I guess you would like to go back to the place where probably the most success in your life ever happened and repeat that, huh? And maybe end it.
Right, so that's where I'm at. I'm trying to focus. I am focusing, and I do want to manifest. And my prayers have been that I want to be more in alignment with what my life purpose is and get the clarity, mm-hmm. which I am getting the clarity in terms of, you know, how to go about doing things. So I just wanted a little bit more input.
Well, with the situation, I always say, open your heart up to whatever's going to happen and just let go. Declare mm-hmm. to the world. Because I remember when I was sitting on that street corner, the biggest thing that came to me was, it was almost like the angels were saying, well, you haven't listened. So now it's like almost like taking you back to the past and going, okay, what happened in the past? What happened when you started listening? Things got better. Things got clearer. Mm-hmm. Doors opened, and that was the whole thing. You've got a plan, and that's why I was seeing, really picking up on the old idea that you have a plan. It's just the idea of following through with it. Because the one thing I learned in that whole situation was if I would have done it logically, it probably would have never happened. Because what happened was I got to this point, right? I'm working at a hotel. I'm working at a freaking hotel, okay? And I asked my boss. If I could actually have a couple nights. I don't know why I even said a couple nights, because I still had a whole freaking week to even get to payday, right? It was like on a Monday. And I was just kind of like looking at the whole thing going, okay. Well, I sit there and could have got angry. Maybe I could have got a little pushy. Maybe I could have sat there and said, okay, why can't I stay here longer? But I just sit there and my angels would just sit there and look at me and go, take a deep breath, just relax, and just follow the plan, you know? Just let it go where it's going to take you. So she said, she looked at me and she goes, well, I'm not going to let you stay in one of my rooms. And I said, okay. Yeah. So I said, no. She said, you can't stay in one of my hotel rooms. I said, okay, no problem. And I thought that was it. And then she came back and she goes, but. I said, okay. She said, it was like around September, right? We're getting down to the end of the season up in Manitou Springs. And she sat there and said, well, we're not using the cabins right now. So why don't you go stay in the cabins for a couple days? But she said, I'll let you stay in there for a couple days. And what it was is I just learned, I didn't argue with her. I just went with the flow on the whole thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we did. We just kind of went through the whole thing. And I didn't understand why, but, you know, it was one of those spontaneous things. So I went and did that. So the 2 days were up, which was nice to get to stay in the cabin. So I'm looking at that situation going, okay. Like always in the past, when I asked for something, I always got a little bit more. So I didn't just get a hotel room. I actually got to stay in the cabins. So then I sat there and left. After I got done working that day, you know, I went down over the hill, and I was sitting on the sidewalk going, you know, I am not going to sleep on the damn streets. I said, I'm not going to do that. And it's like these voices came to me and said, you know, my angels were sitting there going, so what do you want to do? This is something to learn right now. You know, you already know where you don't want to be at, so you don't need to think about that. So where do you want to be at? I said, realistically, I want a nice warm bed and a big old fluffy pillow to put my head on in a nice room. And then the next thing, a voice came to me and said, go to this hotel. Now, I started arguing and say, okay, I only have $17 in my pocket. I can't stay in a hotel. And they're going, what are miracles? And I said, well, they said, well, we'll tell you. Miracles are things that defy reality. Until you start listening, you're going to start seeing miracles every day. Okay, so I said, okay, no problem. So I stopped. And I went into the hotel. And I was sitting there and talked to the lady for a little bit, told her what was going on. I even told her about the situation with the woman who put me in the situation. And lo and behold, she looks at me and she said, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again, but I'm going to give you a room. And see, like I told you before, like I said before, that was on a Wednesday. I still had to wait till Friday to get paid. So it wasn't just for one night. It was till the end of the week, till Friday. And actually what happened was I had to work over on Friday. And then I got done working out. I got done working. I wanted to go work out to get rid of some stress. I forgot all about the lady, okay? I forgot all about the lady. And then I popped in there and did my little thing. Okay? And I thought for sure she would... my stuff out and everything, you know. But she didn't. I came back in there. My bed was made. My room was cleaned. And then I didn't see her till Saturday. And I was like, I told her, I said, I'm sorry, I missed you. She goes, miss me. Oh, that's right. You're supposed to come down and pay me some money. Yeah. She wasn't worried. I think she, when we was talking to her, I think she felt like she had to say something to have a little bit of control over the situation. Because, you know, at that time, she, you know, people have a tendency to listen to a guy more than a bitch. But like I said before, I didn't know at the time either when I stayed in the hotel that her husband ran the broker. And that's where I get my first apartment when I moved up, when I finally moved out of there, which I did. It was another situation, too. I tell people all the time, you know, what our biggest problem is, it stands in our way, is reality, as we see it, as the world tells us, okay? Not your angels and your guides and your God. No, the world. The world will sit here and say, you have to have all these things first before you can actually have those nice things. Not realizing it's just, you know, the idea of the focus and actually declaring it and saying, yeah, I do want those things. And I believe I can have them. Because I went from there, when I went to go stay in the Barker house, it was another thing. See, there I got 2 days in the hotel. But when I went to go stay in the Barker house, I just went there to look at apartments. And my angel said, hey, you know, what's the problem of going out and looking? I know you haven't saved any money because you haven't really been able to, but what's, you know, you asked for something. I said, yeah, I did ask for something. I asked to be taken from paying every week to getting into a place where I could pay once a month, because I knew once I did that, it would be a step up for me. I just wasn't sure how it was going to happen, but I did ask for it. And then next thing I know, my landlady comes down there and she goes, hey, you want to go up here and look at some apartments? They got 5 available. And I was almost tempted to say, I have no money. And all of a sudden the voice came in and said, no. You know, there's no harm in going and looking. So go take a look. And sure enough, I went up there and looked at some apartments. I loved this one. It was 308. 308 because it equaled 11. I thought that was a good thing. I don't know why. But I sit there and the biggest thing I said was, I never sit there and said nothing about not having any money, not being able to do it. I just kept on saying to myself, I would love to have this apartment. And Leon, he must have been intuitive too, because he looked right at me and said, you don't have any money, do you? I was like, I was like, he's the first person that caught me, and you know, who actually said what was on his mind, right? And I said, Leon, no, I don't. And he was kind of, he had this kind of distraught look on his face, but I realized later on it wasn't because of me. He was looking at the apartment that I was in, and he had a maintenance man who used to get drunk quite a bit. And he looked at me and he said, I'll be right back. He said, I said, okay, no problem. I just come tell myself I would love to have this apartment. I was even starting to look at it and see what I could do with it, right? And I just knew, I just knew something was going to happen. So I was sitting there, and Leon comes back in and looks at me right in the face and goes, I got a deal for you. And I was almost like a little voice went off the back of my head saying, I was waiting, you know, like something was, you know, you felt that anticipation. He looked at me and said, my maintenance man's drunk again, so could you please do me a favor? I said, what? He said, I'll make a deal with you. If you finish paying this apartment, you can move in right now. I said, you're serious? He goes, yes, I'm serious. You can move right in right now. If you finish paying this apartment, I'll let you move in now. And he said, this was like November. And it was actually the first week of November. So it was like a whole month. You know, he just said, move in, you can move in. Okay, cool. And then he even went further than that. When he looked at me and said, we also have a special going on. We have a special going on right now where if you come up with $99 deposit, you move in. He said, so when December comes around, all you got to do is have $99. He said, can you do that? And most people have a tendency to get fearful and say, well, I'm not sure. I said, yes, I can. You know, I've learned one thing in life, to go after it. But it was like the lady I was telling you about who got me to Colorado in the first place. When that lady sent her telling me she wanted me to go to Colorado, I had no money to travel. I had never met this lady before face-to-face. So I just told her flat out. I mean, it was like guidance came across again and said, tell this lady what you need. So I did. I told her. I said, I need travel pay. I need a place to live. You're giving me a job, so those things are all covered. And if you can cover all those things, I'd be happy to come work for you. And I've done it a couple of times. When I got my second shop in Colorado that was mine, I actually went into a situation, into a little shop that people had been paying $300 a month for. I walked in there and told the lady I only wanted to pay $150. And people thought I was crazy. People thought I was crazy and stuff. And I sit there and said, you know something, ask for what you want. So I walk up in there, I tell the lady, I said, I'm going to do a little psychic shop and that kind of stuff. Do a little rearranging and stuff. But I said, your shop is really nice. I've seen the whole thing, a lot of things to work with. I'd like to pay $150 a month. And if you said, you know, go talk to your husband about the whole thing and get back with me. Well, I freaked out. We actually talked later on, and she said, my husband said, no problem, $150 it is. He said he only wants one thing. I said, what's that? He said he wants a $50 deposit. I'm thinking, I just saved myself $150. $50 deposit, no problem. And it was like, I tell people these stories for one reason. It was like a chain reaction. You know, you just go into these situations with no, your only anticipation is success, and you just start watching the things fall into place. Like I said, most people will be on the outside looking at these situations like they're miracles happening, but I just call it right thinking, where we start focusing on exactly what we do want, and we don't let those little negative thoughts that come in that might want to talk us out of it. And I told a friend of mine, there's a lot of things you can do the same thing with, anything. And I had, because I remember when I got that first shop, the first week that I made $725, and my landlord showed up, and I said, oh, here's the money I owe you, $725. It started making you think. And it was the same thing with my job, too. My job, I was working at the hotel still when I had the first shop. And one day I was sitting there looking at my paycheck, which I'd made $276 for 2 weeks. And I said, I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I made $200 yesterday. So what you do is you also allow your mind and your perception to expand. Get yourself out of the box. Because there's a lot of people who start making big money, but still keep thinking within the box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually seen people who win the lottery who still want to go out and pay payments on a car. What? You know. So it's the idea of realizing that when your prosperity and your abundance start expanding, so does your mind and your perceptions and your goals, you know, your diet, your wishes, your desires, What I was going to say, your wants, needs, and desires also, sometimes you got to put those behind you and say, okay, they're already fulfilled. My biggest thing I got on my book is there's a book out there called The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. And that book is so great. I love that book because
you said,
there's
you
actually...
Said put your, what did you say, put behind you?
Put all your wants, needs, and desires behind you like they've already been fulfilled, and they will be. Because a lot of us have a tendency to think about things. I've noticed when I had my shop, the days I thought about everything, everything seemed sluggish and slow.
Mm-hmm.
When people walk in the shop and just focus on, I mean, I remember one time I just said, I don't care if I make any money today. I just want to be able to sit down and do readings and work with people and make a difference in someone's life. I just want to do my service. Those are the days I made the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because I let go and said, you know something? Why am I here? Why was I given this privilege? Because I have a gift to help people. So therefore, that's what I want to do. It's because a lot of times, like I said before, the world will seep in and say, well, you got bills to pay. I think the less we think about those bills, because my friend was laughing. I said, when I get bills in the mail, you know what I do with them? She goes, what? I said, I throw them in the trash. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, because I pay everything online. I don't need a paper bill. And I said, paper bills and stuff like that, it works against you because it's a constant reminder of debt. And you're trying to take that thought and that word out of your mind because you're trying to focus on nothing but prosperity. So therefore, we look at the situation, and we consider look at balance within one's life to sit there and see things, to declare that, yeah, okay, those are the things we need to fulfill, but we don't need to dwell on them.
Oh,
you don't need to dwell on them.
We need to do it. Yeah, we need to focus on nothing but our wants, needs, and desires, but we don't focus on the want. See, what I'm saying is you focus on those things, like what is your want, what is your need, what is your desire, but when you actually take those words and put on them, they have a tendency to create a block to keep from getting those things. So what we want to do is sit here and look at it a different way and say, okay, well, what are your wants? Well, I'd like to have a car. Well, you don't focus on the wanting the car. You actually focus on the car itself. And if you got, the one thing I liked about The Secret, because it was funny too, I was in my second shop, and this lady, she was with her father and her mother, and her father was like a retired cop. And she for some reason, we just crossed paths one day. We're sitting there in my little shop, and sometimes I would sit out front, and the reason I liked this little shop, because it had a split door where you could open the top door and leave the bottom door shut. Because everybody knows Colorado has a tendency to get a little chilly. So I felt like, hey, if it got a little cold, I actually bought me one of those Indian blankets, and I would put it over there, have a little shelf right there where the door split, and I would do car readings right there. And then I finally got to the point where I walked into a shop one day. I said, I want to get a table and some chairs for my shop, and I want to get a table big enough where I could get people in there plus me. And it was only five feet by 6 feet. I walked into this really most expensive furniture store. I went to go give plasma. On the way back, they said, go into the store. And I, you know, at that point, I'd already started listening very, very intently because everything else was falling into place. Why not, you know? So I listened. I walked in there, and I'm looking around. I see these $200 tables. And I said, okay, Angel, you know I have no budget. And they're like, yes, but just keep going. I said, okay, fine. I know you guys always take me someplace, and there's always a reason. So, you know, just relax. So I looked at some lady walked up and said, can I help you? I said, are there any other tables that might be a little less expensive? So she takes me in the back room, and they're still $100. But I just happened to turn around, and over in the corner, there's these tables. And I said, well, how much are those tables in the corner? She goes, oh, those are free. We're just trying to get rid of them. I'll take two. Hey, my friend, like, okay, no, you're basically saying that some people think things like this don't happen maybe once in a lifetime, and here you have a series of things happening. And she goes, and like the question was, what do you strike it up to? Like I said before, you know, it's like if you look at bad things that happen to people, it's not, it's a series of things that happen by making one bad decision. So what they were trying to do is show you that when you make a good decision, there's also a series of things that happen too. But once you maintain that balance within yourself, you can continue to keep the good things going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
so
that,
do you,
that human. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, do you have cards with you now?
Do I have cards?
Well, you do,
cards?
Cards, yeah. You say you do card readings. Do you have cards with you now?
Oh, yeah.
Cards.
I got them all done. And what we do on the show is we do, I have this thing where I call them seven card. They're called seven card pyramid foundation readings. We have spreads, and we also have a five and a three. And what I usually do on the shows is I usually do a three, just to make
okay.
sure everybody else can also get the show.
So can you do a three on me?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm just saying with your situation, when you look at things on that list of yours and stuff that come through, you know, some of them might look like on the surface, like how can I accomplish that? And sometimes it's just the idea continuously every day, not just every once in a while, but every day. And the reason I stress that, because I have a problem with that sometimes too, where I just want to take a nap for 3 days. But there are also things, like when you listen to your angels, you're going to hear a lot of things too. They start making sense. I mean, when I first got to Colorado and I got my first apartment, which didn't work out, I got in this one apartment, and we're talking five. I did not eat for 5 days, and my angels came through. My angels came through and said, "What do you think about what just happened?" And I just started noticing something. And if anybody's ever fasted, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Your senses.
I have.
Your senses, your height. I was starting to tell, and my angels came across and said, "You've been trying to find some kind of motivation to actually fast, and you just fasted for 5 days. So always try to find the positive side of everything that happens to you, and what's going to happen is your life is going to continue to get better because you're focusing on the positive side instead of the negative side and everything and anything." And I started looking at those things and said, okay, so the apartment you was in didn't work out. But sometimes we have a tendency to jump into things before we should. Or maybe it takes us back to a point and say, "Well, you didn't listen to your guidance that said don't do it."
Right.
There was a situation where I was in an apartment. Oh, I actually had a cottage. I didn't want to give it up. It was really nice. It was even closer and up in the mountains even further. And I actually had, in my front yard, I swear to you, I didn't have a front yard. I had a balcony. And every night in the summertime, I would walk out of my balcony, and the moon would hit the top of the oak trees just right.
Wow.
It looked like
you could almost like you could touch it.
Right, but it also looked like fairies dancing on the top of the leaves on top of the trees. And I said, "I don't want to leave." I had a creek coming down through there. I was loving it. But then I got in trouble with the rent a little bit, and my landlady came in and said, "You need to pay us the rent because we got a mortgage." Well, I found out later on, they didn't have a mortgage. And my angels came through and said, "You know, sometimes in situations, people, when they lie to you, they have their own karma to deal with, and you may be the vehicle that passes that karma on to them. They're sitting there pressuring you in a situation and doing things illegally." So what happens when people do things like that? They have a tendency just let things play themselves out. So what happened was I acquired a client through my first shop who wanted to work with me exclusively. And it was kind of funny to have him focusing, going, "Okay, we got this going on. It'd be great to have somebody to work with," and, you know, the whole thing. And this lady from California came in my shop one day. And this was kind of, sometimes when you do things and you've been doing them for a while, even when you still do them, they still kind of like, you still have that anticipation and excitement about what you do for a living. And that's what it was here. This lady came in my shop. We're doing a reading for her and that kind of stuff. I had a great time. And then she said, "I want to work with you exclusively." I said, "You do, huh? Well, I do." You know, it's like 9 o'clock, I want to go home. And she goes, "Well, I'll give you a ride home." And she goes, "Oh, I want to ask you a question. So what color do you think my car is?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't see a color. I just see dark. But I see that everything is outlined in red." And I said, "You know what that means?" She goes, "Not really. What's that? I mean, my car is black. I mean, that's why you don't see a color, because it's black." I said, "Probably so, because it's black up, you know." So we get to her car. What really shocked me was, when she turned her car on, when she put the ignition in there and she turned it on, it's dark. When she turns the car on, yeah, you know, we have those lights inside of our car that outlines everything.
Right.
Everything. When she turned the ignition on, all those little lines that are supposed to light up when you turn it on, were red, and everything was outlined in red.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me, and she was like, you don't have to convince me of anything else anymore. She goes, that is kind of wild, but since you knew that, because you described it to a T. So I was like, yes. So about, you know, but what happened was, it's like, next thing you know, I worked with her for about 2 weeks and made over $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my I only owed my landlord, I think, $1,100. Well, for some reason, I had this guidance come through and said, it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about the worldly thing. You know, people would sit there and say, well, you need to be responsible and pay that bill. How do you know that the landlord doesn't have karma coming back, that they deserve what's going to happen? And you need to move on and put yourself into a situation where it's like, do you pay rent where people are constantly there and you don't trust them? Or do you move on into a place where you feel you can trust the people more? And by making that decision, your life just got a whole lot better. I was actually able to move into a place that was actually even cheaper, where I actually paid 2 months in advance. And this is the first time I've ever been in any apartment complex. It wasn't an apartment complex. It was actually a big house. They turned into apartments. But they paid for the electric and the gas. I had never been any place where a place where you rent actually paid for both electric or gas. They usually pay one or the other. So I started looking at these things. And these were all blessings, and blessings in all kinds of ways. So those are the signs.
Well, that is one of the things that I've been thinking about, a move, because I've been looking to find a place. And so that is one of the things that have been on my mind, the move, and when we'll be moving, and, you know, the kind of place we'd be moving into, because I've been really looking mostly on the Internet for probably since last year, the end of last year.
Yeah, I've been looking too, and it's kind of crazy with some of the stuff that, you know, I sit there and look at some of the places, and it's kind of funny that some of the rents have gone up, and the economy supposedly had gotten better. So,
the rent is high sky, and everything's expensive in Colorado. Everything, the food, I don't know where you live, but the food is very expensive as well. So,
I was out there. Like I said, we were coming back from church one day, and we pulled into that place I told you about, a steak and seafood place, and sitting there looking at the menu, and there wasn't anything on that menu for just a meal for a single person under $26.
Right.
And the people I was with were saying, you need to hurry up. You need to hurry up. I stopped. I told everybody, this is what I mean by being blunt. When you feel like you need to say something, you say it. And I looked at these people in the face, and I said, you know something? I'm looking at this menu, and there ain't nothing under here I can actually get under $25 to $26. So you all sit back, relax, and I'm going to pick exactly what I want. If I'm going to pay this kind of money, I'm going to get what I want. So therefore, you might as well just relax, because it's going to happen. And the waitress was cool about it. She was like, yeah, you should take your time and do what you got to do. The other people were like, come on, man. You're making this lady wait. Well, that's what she's called a waitress for, okay?
You're making me wait. Pull the cards.
No, actually, I'm shuffling your cards. Sometimes when I have to, if I'm shuffling and I'm shuffling a lot, I have a tendency to talk a lot. Why?
Okay.
Because because it's like I'm trying to keep you preoccupied so you won't sit there and get bored. Because sometimes I see one thing I like about working, doing this and doing readings in person, because I tell people flat out that when I shuffle, you don't pay for that. Because I want you to listen to your intuition. And when it tells you to stop, I want you to stop, or whatever you want to do with the cards. Because a lot of people have come in and they say, okay, what you want to do, I want you to shuffle about 3 or 4 times. Then I want you to cut the deck into 3 decks, put them right out there for you. And then I want you to allow me to pick which one I want to work with.
Okay.
And so I tell people you should listen to those things. There's some of my friends are kind of like new to doing readings. And I say, when you have someone coming to you like that, you don't sit there and say, well, I've never done it that way before. Because I said, I've been doing this work for a long time, and I remember this one spread I did years ago. I've never done again. But for some reason, when we sit down to do that reading and the cards unfolded the way they did, they spoke and gave the answers this woman was looking for. And that's what we're trying to do. And I thought, and my friend, I had one person said, I don't do readings like that, so I really don't want to do it that way, because I don't feel comfortable with that. And I said, well, you're going to have to feel comfortable with your gift, because that's what it is. Cards are extensions of who you are. You're just trying to find a footing and a foundation. So I'm going to shuffle your cards about one more time. And all I'm going to ask you to do really is I want you to tell me if you want me to cut this deck or leave it the way it is.
I want you to cut it in 3 stacks.
Really? I had a funny feeling. Let me get my big axe out.
Chop, chop.
I used to joke with people when they cut. Seriously, when they come to my shop, they come in and I said, can I get my palm red? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I ran out of red paint yesterday. But I think I still got some green, so come on in. You know? But you can't get it red. We'll go over it kind of and give you that green thumb before you walk out the freaking door. So, with the situation in hand, which pile do you want?
The middle one.
It's been a middle day, I'm telling you. Everybody's been picking that middle one all freaking day. But it's no problem. I don't like the middle one, but let's see what happens. Because I was sitting there going over, and one thing I do about my cars, I don't do the upside down thing. I believe the angels will give us the answers. We don't need to have an upside down card. They'll give us everything we need. We just need to look at the cards, and we need to open ourselves. And like I said, like we said before, it's not really reading cards, it's listening.
Okay.
Okay, the thing they're talking about, the first card came out was study, the second card was trust, and the third card was emerging. Okay? Now, when you look at the situation, as you study these things, you have to trust in what mm-hmm. direction that you're pulled into, because that's where that's where everything is going to emerge. Okay, this is, and like I tell people before, when we do these pyramids, you just don't get 3 cards. We're going to build a pyramid, just like you would build a pyramid block by block on top of each other. So we're going to put cards on top of those. That's why I always insist on people to actually schedule a private reading for the 7 cards, because they take about 40 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Because they're very detailed. We start with 7, we go 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The cards also represent on the seven one. They can give you insights to all your chakras, the 7 chakras. Each level represents a chakra. It gives you a final outcome. It also goes down the left and the right with a final meeting. So it's just not the idea of the one card. You get a lot into these things. And that's why I always recommend those, because it's like your life on the table. Now, if you sit and look at the foundation you have, it's just the ideal. You've already been studying it. You get the impression you should move. And by studying the situation and what is actually unfolding for you, the answers are within that. So it's like study, trust what you see, trust what you know you need to do, trust yourself, and then watch things emerge. Mm-hmm. Now we'll sit here and go to the second level. The second level is just kind of honing into you of things that you need to focus on within yourself. And the first one is truth and integrity, and then the second one is healthy lifestyle. Now, the one, healthy lifestyle, that's Archangel Raphael. Now, when it talks about healthy lifestyle, it talks about on this card, if you read the card itself, the card says, eat healthily, diet, get sleep, exercise, and, you know, on a regular basis for optimal health. But when you also look at the situation of what total health is within an individual, it's emotional, physical. It's also being true to oneself. You know, we've noticed that when people don't really follow their path, or they don't really do what they really want to do, they don't feel good about themselves. So it has a tendency to represent in some kind of ailment within themselves. You know, people say, well, this guy's bipolar. I said, well, why don't you quit saying that word? Because realistically what it is, it's an imbalance. It's just a doctor has come up with a word. And if you look at the idea of the word itself, bipolar, it's talking about polarity. So what you need to do is balance that out. Medication does nothing but mask it and, you know, helps people to deal with it. But when you sit there and look at a healthy thing, what you need to do within yourself, why are so many people pulled to the spiritual lifestyle? Because they're looking for balance within their lives and their bodies and their minds and their spirit. And they can get those things, and they know they can, so that's where they go. They don't go to the doctor. People go to the doctor because the world says you should. You know, you watch television. The one commercial I don't like is the one about church. Go to church more than twice in your life. They show your funeral and your wedding. And I'm just like, you know something? I didn't get, you know, but what if we didn't get married in church? So I guess we missed that one day, huh? So it's like looking at life and saying, well, how much do you learn from church? If you're a person that likes to go to church and you think you're going to learn a lot there, then you go there. But it's the ideal that we all go down a different path, and that's what it's saying here. Truth and integrity is, means that you got to be truthful to yourself. You got to be true to yourself. In the process of being true to yourself, you're also giving that integrity to yourself. I was talking to someone the other day, and my mom said the biggest problem was the devil was kicked out of heaven. I mean, out of heaven because of his self-centeredness, and all he thought about was himself. And she said, all people do now is think about themselves. But I step back and say, realistically, we have no right to say those things, because isn't it true? I don't know about everybody else, but isn't it true that Christians, in some sense, word, seem to be the most judgmental people in the world? Because they're always telling you, always judging you. Yeah, so they're always judging you and saying, okay, this is, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. And, you know,
the biggest bunch of hypocrites.
Right. So you sit here and look at the situation. You know, when you look at the situation of what's going on with you, okay, it's like you're trying to put yourself in a different position because you are a teacher. Right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so when you sit here and look at the situation, it's, you know, you have a tendency, I'll put it like this, you've helped out more people than you can think of, than you can imagine. I mean, it's like almost like you cross people's paths for 5 seconds, you can say something that's going to resonate with them for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So it's the idea, that's the one thing you're looking for, to really put that, to really put it where you feel like it. You know, the ideal, like I said before, the one thing, because I got this, the last card I put on the top of this thing was teaching and learning.
Right.
And it's basically saying to you, you need to open your mind, learn new ideals, and then teach those ideals to others.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Right. So it's the ideal that I was talking about today, too, that people don't understand that more than likely, if you've really chosen your life purpose and you know what your life purpose is, more likely that's how you found your life partner. And I thought it was kind of funny how they both have the same initials, LP. And you sit here and look at the situation, right? So you are in a really great place in your life. And even the idea of being in Colorado is a reason why. When you sit here talking about moving, you're not talking about moving away from Colorado, are you?
Oh, no. I'm just moving into another place.
They're saying be true to yourself in the process of where you go. I've seen too many people who said that, I don't know if I can get into a place or not because credit or whatever it is.
I go into those places
and say, you know something? If I can walk into a motor vehicles, and I didn't know this at the time, but I walked into motor vehicles in Florida, and my biggest thing I said to myself was, I'm going to walk in here and get my driver's license and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did too. I thought my license had just expired. It had been 3 years. And everybody's like, well, what made you think you'd get your license? Because I wanted them, and that's all I could focus on. So I walk in the place, and the lady looks at me, and she goes, you sure they're not revoked? I said, no. I said, as far as I know, they just expired. And I just haven't had the time. I've been traveling a lot, that kind of thing, and a lot of things I've been working on and focusing on. And some of the places I haven't even lived, you know, the idea of having a driver's license, really didn't need one, you know. And then she said, okay, no problem. Stand up from the screen. Take your picture. I walked out my driver's license. Now, when I got back to Ohio, that was in Florida. When I got back to Ohio, I found that my license had been revoked for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask yourself, how did I get my driver's license? Because I wanted my driver's license. That's the only thing I can think of. It was something that I focused on and said, and I've done this before. I walk in the grocery stores with a, you know, sometimes I think I do it on purpose, but I'll go in there with a list of things, and I say, I'm going to walk in here, I'm going to get these, and I'm going to walk out and pay for everything on this list. And I always do. It always seems to work out. Even if I go to go to two or three credit cards or whatever it is, or I found some hidden money in my wallet, it always seems to work out. When I make that statement in a positive way, I'm walking in there with no fear, I always walk out exactly what I wanted. So it's one of those things, the learning of the situation. Teaching and learning is a very powerful tool in the process of going out there. If you ever saw my freaking place with some of the books, you'll see sometimes I'll have 5 or 6 books I'm reading at the same time. So it's like the idea of acquiring knowledge. But, you know, the knowledge that you acquire has to be set up for some kind of way for yourself. where it resonates with you very strongly and passionately, where it makes it easier to go out and teach people. And that's what I see. That's what I see here. But the teaching and learning, if you look at these cards, it's that teaching and learning, life, healthy lifestyle emerging. So you're, it's like you're learning a lot of things about yourself, as in there's certain things you can't do or things you shouldn't do. Like me personally, I started noticing that people said, well, you have a weight problem. Well, I started to realize it wasn't really a weight problem. It was the idea of dairy products would make you retain water, fluids, and that kind of stuff. And when I started to get away from those, I saw a drastic change in my health. It wasn't something I had to do. It was just something that I noticed. It wasn't some doctor told me. It was in the process of doing this kind of lifestyle and working on the spiritual stuff that I started seeing almost everything. It's like my eyes were wide open. I could see things. I used to go up in Colorado. I was in Colorado. The one thing I used to love to do is there was a place in Manitou Springs called the Incline. You can people go every six o'clock in the morning. Every morning, these people go to this place and they hike up.
Is that a vortex?
Manitou Springs itself is in a vortex, and the incline is like the incline is up on the first ridge of Pikes Peak. Mm-hmm. And what I used to do is sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning I would just go up there about halfway, because what happened was it used to be a trolley, okay, and what happened was the trolley broke down. So instead of fixing the trolley, they just took it out. Well, when you look at it, when they took the tracks and stuff out, when you looked at it, it looks like a big stairway going up the side of the mountain. So for some reason, everybody started hiking this thing. And actually, if you in certain places, even places not in Colorado, it seems to be a tourist attraction. I didn't know it either. People started talking about this place, and they said, go up Bar Trail. Bar Trail goes up to the top of Pike, goes up to Pikes Peak too. But it's more those kind of windy kind of paths. It kind of you can take your time up. This thing here goes straight up. It's kind of like I kind of describe it like if they took the Empire State Building away from the stairs, and you just have the stairs. That's the kind of effect you get when you hike this thing because it's straight up the side of the mountain. Mm. And one day I decided to turn around, and I was like, I didn't realize I was so freaking high up in the air, because when you turn around, I mean, the whole place just opens up. If you go about halfway up, it's about a mile and a quarter up. So when you get about halfway and you turn around and look out, all it is just one humongous valley.
Mm.
You ever seen those movies where you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're in a plane, all of a sudden you shoot out over a canyon, there's nothing there. That's the effect you get. It's really cool. But I'm just saying, when we used to do that all the time, I would go up there some nights and just see how much I could hear, you know. It's like when you strengthen up your spirit, when you strengthen up your physical hearing and just work with it all the time, they've also said that, you know, your spiritual sight, your spiritual hearing, all that kind of stuff, they're also attached to your physical ears and eyes and that kind of stuff. So when you work on those, you're actually enhancing everything. And I just started noticing certain things all the time. It's just like every day was just one of those experiences of what am I going to find today? Because I was always finding, once you start focusing on the positive side of everything,
mm-hmm.
you automatically, spontaneously start looking for the solution. You always go looking for the solution. So you go from what if everything falls apart to what if I get everything I want. And it's that easy. And that's what I'm saying with these cards. The teaching and learning experience is something that never stops. When I hear people look at me and go, well, I took spirituality for 6 months. What are you talking about? It's a constant thing where you have to sit there. It's an everyday evolving. That's what spirituality is all about. So when you see these cards, they're just saying you have a plan, you need to follow through with it, and you need to open up your mind. Because I've had a couple of people talk about business. I would start a business if I had money. I say, well, to start a business starts with a vision. And with that vision, you start opening doors. It's not money that opens
mm-hmm.
the doors. It's you
mm-hmm.
that opens the door. Mm-hmm.
It's me that opens the doors.
Things. Yeah, because we have to take it back to the point. Say, okay, people have a tendency to put themselves in 9-to-5 jobs, 9-to-5, and they think that's security. They don't realize if they don't go to work, you know, if they don't physically do something themselves, it don't happen. So therefore, once you go out and do that, because I got into an argument one day with a lady who said that she got mad because technology was taking jobs from people. And I said, no, they're not. It's all you narrow-minded people are not thinking. Now you're getting a perfect opportunity to start your own business, which you never had before. But you're letting all these limitations, and you're making excuses why you can't do it. And really, realistically, all you're doing is making excuses to keep you from where you really want to be. So once you just get rid of the excuses and start saying, okay, how could I start a business? And most of the times, a lot of people don't realize with corporate and a lot of these companies, what they did was they sought out sponsorship and people to work with them. So they started looking for solutions. They had a great plan. They found other people who also wanted to have the same kind of vision or wanted to put something into the vision and found everything they needed to do that. And now they've became very successful. And the people they had to help them with it, they all got compensated very well because, you know, to have a thought and have everything that goes on behind it too, that's a lot of work, not just money.
Well, one thing that I started getting this vision about this building, and Spirit was telling me, okay, you need this building, and what the building would accommodate. It would accommodate the teaching, the workshops, and have the kitchen to actually do the food and other functions and things like that. It said, you know, you need a building. So I've been getting that in the last couple of months. You need this building. And, you know, maybe something that, you know, maybe has a little shop off to the side where I can have the herbs and the crystals and the books and, you know, whatever else my clients might need so that I don't have to send them somewhere else to get those things.
Exactly. No, I was sort of thinking because I remember when I got my second shop, I actually walked by that. I actually was working in my friend's shop. Because the shop that I worked with, I told you about, that I actually went in and started working first. I worked there for a while, and then the partner I had, I didn't really trust anymore just because of some of the shady dealings and stuff. And I tell people all the time, I don't care if I'm making, you know, tons of money. I'm making that money, and I'm having that success because of what I'm putting into it and what I'm doing. So, therefore, it doesn't matter where I do it. And, you know, it's like you look at the lady and say, thank you for giving me the opportunity to actually do this kind of work. And actually, when I left there, I owned half that shop. And I just, you know, just didn't feel like doing it anymore and relinquished my ownership to the whole thing and gave it back. And then people were like, you're making $2,500 a month. What are you going to do that for? Well, I can do that anywhere. It's just that when I get to a point where I can't trust somebody, see, the point of not trusting somebody, the reason it has a problem with me is because my attention is not completely on the people who are walking through the door. And if I can't give myself 100%, then I don't want to do that. So I found a solution. And what I did was I just left. I left and I started doing stuff at my home, which for some people have a tendency to go, you're doing readings out of your kitchen? I don't want to go up there because I don't trust you. I'm the most trustworthy person you want to meet. It was just, I look at people and I said, well, when you get to the point where you trust yourself again, come on back. You know, and they're like, what? You'll figure it out. You know, just let them go. And then I started working in my friend's shop for a little bit. She had jewelry. They used to sell spiritual stuff, that kind of stuff, jewelry, and they made their own jewelry and that kind of stuff. So I went in and worked in there. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, this stuff is just not working. But the whole time, I kept on passing this one door. It was a big old aqua blue door. I kept on passing and passing and passing. I'm like, why does that thing seem like it's getting brighter every day? The door just seemed like it was getting brighter every day, brighter every day. I remember I finally walked by that one day and said, okay, fine. I'll go inside and ask. You know, I got the message. You want me to take this shop? See, my not what you're saying is what I was laughing because my angels did the opposite. They sit here and said, I was thinking about a big shop and maybe two or three psychics to work together and, you know, doing this and that and the other. And then they came back to me and said, why did you start doing this for? And what was your main goal? And, you know, is it still your goal? And I was like, yeah, that's still my goal. And they go, what was that? I said, that was just to have a place, a nice place where I could actually be mine and I could do readings and stuff. And they go, well, the door, check it out. You might be surprised. And they were, you know, so I was like, okay. I was kind of irritated because I walked up to the freaking door and it said for rent on it, right? But there's no freaking phone number. So I was like a little irritated, going, okay, there's no phone number. This little voice came in my head and said, well, you need to go into the T-shirt shop and they'll have the number for you. I walk in that place and that guy looked at me and says, oh, I wanted to ask some questions about the blue door. And he goes, let me go get the phone number. Get the phone number for you so you can call him. I was like, wow, that was quick. How come I haven't done this before? Who knows, right? Anyway, I got the whole thing. We opened the freaking door, and I started looking at it. And at first, I was kind of hesitant because I had this big, nasty sink in the corner. And I was just like kind of hesitant about it just for a little bit, you know? And then it was amazing how it all fell into place. If I wouldn't have followed through, like I said before, if I would have listened to logic on a lot of things, I wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because when I walked into this... When I walked into the shop, it had no electricity.
Mm.
But then I thought about it. For a minute, right? I'm sitting there going, no electricity, huh? Well, there were so many people that were accommodating to me on either side, okay? If I needed heaters or anything like that, they had no problem helping me out. And then I thought about it. I have a metaphysical shop. We burn candles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it really got too cold, I had a phone service. So I just go home. See, at first I was just getting so caught up in the whole thing, I got back to the point again where I wasn't listening. Get a little arrogant and say, I can do this on my own. And so I stopped doing that. And I said, okay, we'll go check the shop out. So we checked it out, and I actually ended up turning that sink into a bookshelf. And then I had big throws where I had when I was in the big shop, I had these big throws, and they covered the walls perfectly. But one thing I wish I could have utilized in the whole place, it was 5x6. But it was 40 feet up. Yeah, but it was 40 feet up. So I was thinking, you know, if I could actually get some lumber, I could make a loft out of it. And then I could, you know, be more accommodating to me and take care of things like that. Cause, well, I asked a lady about electricity. She's like, well, I told you to have electricity. I said, I understand that. But I said, if I personally paid for maybe getting electricity and stuff in there, would it be okay with you? Because realistically, if I could have done that, I probably could have got a couple months for free because if you would have seen the hobbit thing was set up in there. But it was kind of funny when I put myself in there, like I said before, everything fell into place. I had accommodations of people, this, that, and the other. I had it was like a little community kind of thing, kicking in and that kind of stuff. Plus, it was all mine. I went to Hobby Lobby and started working with stuff like that, too, to decorate the shop and stuff. And
You just rented it?
No, the lady wouldn't do that because it was actually a lot of historical property in Manitou Springs, and most of the people who have it are ancient too. I hate to say that, but this couple, her husband was like 90 years old. She was in her 70s. She basically did all the talking and stuff. And I met him briefly. He drove up one day. They drove up in a Cadillac, a limousine one day. And they said, well, I want you to meet my husband. So I met the husband. I met his wife. I talked to her mostly. And then one day, his family came into town. And they come up there, and they were really nice people. They came up there and said, hey, you got to meet my daughter and her husband and that kind of stuff. And they introduced me to them. And, you know, actually, to tell you the truth, it was more accommodating than my own family. But it's something that when you look at the whole thing, that I couldn't believe why I held back for so long.
Do you interpret dreams?
Like, all the time.
Can I tell you about this one dream I had?
The one thing I want to do is I want to sit there and say, yes, I can interpret your dream. And then I'm looking at people. What am I looking at? I'm looking at you.
Okay.
And hold up, take a deep breath. I was looking at the queue. So I have all intentions of getting back to you.
Okay.
Because we've had these switchboards for a while, but I'm still kind of in the dark about some of these things where I'm trying to figure out who wants to get on, who doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Like you have question marks, you have a question mark next to your name. Well, you actually not your name, but your number. And
mm-hmm.
I've talked to some people, and I said, did you push one when you called in? And
right.
They said, what? What's one?
One
said,
is okay. That you get in the queue.
Yeah. No, I just want to sit there and interpret a dream, and then we want to go on to some of the people and get somebody else on. And
okay.
But don't get me wrong. It's been nice talking to you and everything else. I love these. Sometimes I think when we meet people, they're just confirmations because, like I said before, I'm probably moving back to Colorado in March. And I ordered this book. I want to tell you about this book. I just can't find it because my mom, she has this freaking knack about things where she just wants to clean things up. And I was sitting there going over some stuff, and I just got this new book, which I've been trying to read, if I could keep it out of the closet long enough. Because she keeps taking it and putting everything in the closet. I said, I told my mom one day, I was like, I'm a little irritated with you. And she goes, why? I said, I'm the only person that comes to visit, and my freaking bags wind up in the shed outside. And she's like, well, you know, I have no room for them. I said, well, you seem to find room for everybody else's stuff. But then again, they have regular jobs. Anyway, we're not complaining. We're just like, it's crazy how some people want to be Christian-like. But when it comes to people that don't fit the pattern, you know what I'm talking about? They have a tendency, we're loving people, love everybody, but they have a tendency to alienate certain people.
And judge.
How will you put this? It goes against what they're trying to actually teach. And they look at me like, right. How come people don't take me seriously? Because your life doesn't reflect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at me and say, you do relationship counseling, that kind of stuff, but you're not a good relationship. And I'll sit here and say, but you don't know that. You know, just because I don't have a girlfriend doesn't mean I don't relate to everybody else in a loving, giving way. Well, I don't judge anybody. I've had people come on the show and when they told me their ethnic background, like they were black or Hispanic, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, you didn't hear it in my voice. No, I said, think about it. In the process of really finding somebody, because you're all looking for signs and ways to tell if someone's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you actually talk to a person who actually sees you and your essence of who you are, you realize there's no ethics. There's no ethical background with spirit. A spirit is a spirit. And it comes from one source, and there's no discrimination in it like that. It's just what it is. Every time I've ever seen a spirit, they're all same color, transparent. So,
right.
And it's like energy. It's like energy. That's what I mean by that. It's energy. So, you know, some people say, hey, I'm a black woman. I'm like, I never saw that. I didn't know that. And she goes, you saw her. Yeah, I was focusing on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people say black, and they'll say I'm a carpenter. And I said, no, you're not. Those are things that you do. And those are like personality traits while you're here. But who you really are within yourself is a whole lot more deeper. And also, the spiritual part of who you are really can't be defined in worldly terms.
That's right.
So why try?
When I meet people, that's what I communicate with. I communicate with their spirit and their soul, and either we connect or we don't connect.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes even when you have people where you really don't connect with them on a certain level, you still realize you all come from the same source, and then maybe the reason you're not connecting with that person is because you've made a choice to be happy and content, and you've actually gone to great extents to do that. And the people who don't, who are all constantly complaining, are probably the ones you really don't connect with because they're so focused. And that's why I call self-centeredness, when they're focused on, you know, my life sucks. I'm sitting there going, no, don't. You know, like one person, I'm lucky with love. And I said, have you just loved? And she goes, yes, I love everyone. I said, so then you wasn't unlucky in love because you know how to. It's the people you attracted who thought they knew how to, because what you portrayed and what you put out there, they just proved to you that they couldn't. So you found out who they was because of who you are. So you know the real ones.
Can I tell you about this dream
right
quick? Okay, I was in this dream, and I was walking down this corridor, but there was all these people walking behind me. They were all different people from different walks of life, different races. I opened the door, and when I opened the door, there was this gold table inside the room. And we all walked inside the room.
Oh, okay. When we look at the situation, what it comes to me about that dream is it just portrays the gold sets the whole tone. Because gold is very precious.
Mm-hmm.
And people really look at that whole thing and they feel like if they have gold, they have something, you know. And what this, and when we have the people in you, what it represents is the gold. Like I said before, the gold sets the dream off by saying everybody who's following you and you yourself are precious. And these have all been precious people throughout your walk of life, but also your walk through many lives. The corridor, that represents you and many lifetimes that you've gone through and the many faces that you've actually had.
Mm-hmm.
Which we look at the situation with the people and stuff, of realizing that also in some sense of the word, to realize if you take the dream a little bit further and you are the one who's basically taking more notice of the gold table, it's showing you how precious you are,
mm-hmm.
that you can let go of this, that you can let go of these people, and you can let go of those past and realize that who you are right now is probably the most impressive person you've ever been. And you need to embrace that and then realize just how powerful you really are.
Wow.
I mean, look at gold. It's beautiful, but it's also very strong. It's very durable. And it has many, many purposes. So therefore, it can also represent who we are. Precious. We brighten up people's lives. We are who we are. We have many, you know, we have many things we can do, and we can also do for others too as well. I feel like you're very gifted. I feel like you're. One thing I keep getting the most is your clairaudience. You hear. Seems like you hear all the time, and
yeah.
Every once in a while, the other senses will kick in. You'll see a vision, but it's always something you've been told first, and then you get pictures. And
right.
Then there's other times where you get that you'll hear something again, and then when you experience it, you'll feel it in your gut. And then there's other times you feel it all in all those areas. So, you know, it's like
right.
Listening back and forth. But I feel like some people would call it the main base of operation is your hearing.
Right.
So the situation with your moving and that kind of stuff, they say move, but they say also get what you want.
Yes, exactly.
Do not settle. You know, and I'm trying to figure out if you have a husband or not. I keep getting a husband of somewhat.
I don't have a husband, no. I'm divorced.
Well, okay. Do you still think about your ex-husband from time to time or some kind of connection here with kids or something like that? I keep seeing a bridge.
Well.
The bridge needs to be severed.
Oh, yeah. He had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had kids.
Sometimes people have kids, that kind of stuff, but we've had any kind of interaction or connection with them. Sometimes the hardest part about moving on is to realize, okay, I've dealt with that person. But we didn't take time to let go of the kids.
Oh, got to let go of the kids. Okay.
Yeah, plus also with the situation, too, it's like, okay, I'm planning on moving on. I need a new person in my life. I want somebody now. I'm ready for a relationship. It's the idea of stepping back and going, okay, let's make sure we cut the cords, not just from the good, bad things, but the good things, too. So if you had good memories with that person or bad, and say you're reminiscing in your mind, those could be standing in the way of someone new coming into your life because you're still hanging on to the past. It doesn't matter if it's a good memory or a bad memory. You're still hanging on to the past, so you need to let go of the whole thing. And like I said before, the dream itself is you going up, and you could also look at the situation that we call that little symptom shaking off people and letting things go. And I'm just saying, actually when you sit there and look at the people themselves, they're all positive. It's basically just saying that you don't need them. There's some things that you've carried with you from lifetime to lifetime and certain people and certain memories and that kind of stuff, and not realizing it, that you need to be let go of, too. That's why I like doing past life regressions and past life readings for people, because it can take them back to a certain point to realize why they still do certain things now. And it's amazing how you connect with those when they first started or go back to a lifetime where it originated from and help them to let go of it by telling them it doesn't exist anymore. So you don't have to hang on to it. They had that one story about that one lady. It was a girl who was 8 years old. She was terrified of closets and all confined areas. I think it got down to the point where it was like no closets, couldn't go up stairways, couldn't go in elevators. I mean, she didn't like confined areas at all, but they couldn't figure out why. So in the process of one day, they took her to a psychiatrist who decided to do hypnosis and to go back in this lifetime to see why she had this problem. Well, in the process of the whole thing, he said, go back to the point of where it was, you were scared of closed environments. The next thing she knew, she went back, and there, and she was like, she said, she was in this lifetime, and she was talking about being around people and the dressing and the clothes and that kind of stuff. And they're like, the guy was like, where are you? Can you point out, can you like see something like, I don't know, some kind of march or something like that? Where, you know, where do you think you're at? And she found some places, she found some markings that basically indicated to her that she was in the 1800s, late 1800s. And he said, okay, since we're already there, what he's going to do is take you to the point where the, you know, this phobia started. And the next thing you know, she was put in a coffin. She was buried alive.
Mm-hmm.
In a lifetime, in a past life, she was buried alive. And what was so wild about the whole thing was, as soon as she was confronted with it, where it came from, she no longer was scared. She was no longer afraid of dark, you know, closets. She was no longer claustrophobic. And we see the reason I like the whole idea is because after that point, she wasn't scared of those things no more. So elevators, doors, and all these other things that she couldn't do, it opened a new world for her that she couldn't experience before because of that fear. So in the process of doing a little past life regression here and confronting and getting rid of it, it opened up where she could see the whole picture of life again. So it was amazing.
Right.
So same thing with you. It's like the idea, cut loose the past. Not just the past in this lifetime, but the ideal and the other ones. And also remember, and we're going to, the final thing I'm going to say to you real quickly, and we're going to go to some other people, is to say thank you for calling. I don't know, is there an easy way to say we got to go on to another person and be nice?
You're so welcome, and I really appreciate it.
But the one thing I got with the situation is to let go.
Okay.
And to really trust yourself. Really trust who you are and that you're making the right decision which way you're going to go with the situation, because, you know, we can sit and go down the list of things that you should do, but you already know what you want to do. And that's the big thing here, because I tell people all the time, you know, go find your life purpose. And they go, what's that? More than likely, it's probably something you've been doing, and it's probably something you love to do, and you wish you could do something with it. So now it's like pointing out to you, then go do that. Because when I was talking about doing psychic readings and stuff, it's been kind of a challenge for me the last 3 or 4 years of actually, is this really it, you know? So I went to travel with the carnival. And every time I did notice, every time I would go work for the carnival or go do something else, I always end up doing this work. And if it's just sitting down doing a palm reading for somebody. And then looking back, this last summer I did a palm reading for an insurance woman. She was like, I could see in her face, I did a palm reading for her, and she looked at me, she's like, that is so right on. And I saw her face, she got real quiet. I said, yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're probably looking at me right now thinking to yourself, why are you working for the carnival and packing up, you know, packing rides back and forth? And I said, I keep asking myself the same question. So what we did this year is we made a vow to ourselves, no matter how tempting it is to go make quick money, is the idea of focusing on what I really feel like I should be doing, and I feel like that's the solution. The other one is just an illusion. Now, some people in the real world would sit there and say, well, you got to get, you know, a real job is where, you know, security's at, really. Walk in one day and your boss doesn't like your green shirt and you're fired. Where's the security in that?
Mm-hmm.
Working for yourself, I could walk in on my computer and work and do readings for somebody in my freaking pajamas, which I feel more comfortable to do, too, and probably benefits you more because I'm comfortable. But so you see how it works. And
right.
I guarantee you, when you start doing something that you really love to do,
mm-hmm.
You might be working 12 and 15-hour days, but I guarantee you'll be enjoying it every minute of it. You won't be sitting there going, I can't wait until it's 8 o'clock, man, get the hell out of here. If you ever worked a real job and you're sitting there just watching the clock and it seems like it's broke because the freaking hand's not moving, or do you want to work a kind of job like that, or you want to work a job where you look up at the clock after you've worked all freaking day and you just had a great time, that you're like, where did Tom go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we do these shows, we were doing 3-hour shows, and people are going, and I kind of long. I said, to tell you the truth, I still didn't think I had enough time. I still don't know. I'm actually trying to go back to doing those pro shows again so we could do 3 hours.
Right. Okay.
So I'm just saying, what's your situation? I'm just saying, it's like, listen to what we're saying here, because a lot of people say, well, you're just boasting about yourself. You can be doing the same thing. That's what I'm saying. You know, boast, because these are the things that have happened, and it's okay. If you're enjoying your life, there's some people out there embarrassed to sit there and tell somebody, I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. They're like, how do you do that? I mean, what do you mean how you do that? The economy's bad. The economy is an illusion.
That's right.
The economy is based on human beings. See, if there wasn't human beings on this planet, there would be no economy. So therefore, we have control over the whole thing, don't we? So this changed it around, and all of us start thinking positive instead of listening to these economists who keep saying, I don't know. Well, since you don't know, I guess I'll have to go figure it out myself. And we do.
Yeah.
You go listen to a politician?
not very often. I don't believe a word they say.
I mean, a guy can talk for 2 hours and never say a word. You know,
right.
How would we put this? A guy could talk for 2 hours and never really say anything.
Right.
So check that out. All right?
Okay.
Like I recommend you get a past life regression sometime when you get some time. Be glad to sit down and do it for you. So, you know, you get a chance to recall. But if you don't, please call us back and give us an update on how your life's going and what's going down and that kind of stuff, because I think you're really going to have some really good things to tell us here in the next couple months.
Okay, now this particular Black Talk, what was the name of it again? Because I kind of went back on the computer. What was the name of this?
Okay. The name of this show is basically called Psychic Ex-Journeyman Spiritual Link.
Okay. And you come on every Saturday?
Actually, we're every Friday, Saturday. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're on for 2 hours, and we start at 11.
Okay.
And then during the week, we're here on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. But on Mondays and Wednesdays, we do a 9 a.m. show.
Oh, okay.
And that's what we're saying. So I'm just waiting for some things I've been doing financially to bring in some money, so we could actually, because on those shows, those are really limited shows because they're only 30 minutes.
Okay, what's your name again?
My name is Donnie. How are you?
Donnie, I'm fine. I'm just gonna put Donnie in this number that I have so I can remember when I'm going through there, and it'll be easier for me to find it too.
Oh,
thanks,
no problem,
Donnie.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate your call, and you have a great night, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. What's killing me on this whole thing is for some reason, on this switchboard, I don't have any, I don't have buttons to push. I just got to push something until it clicks. Here you go, 270. Welcome to the show. I guess we should push the button again, huh?
Can you hear me?
Oh, hold up. 207? I mean, 270?
Hi, Donnie. It's me, Dorita.
Dorita, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just all in the brain here. I finally sat down and decided to write something. But I was listening to you earlier. No, it was good. It was good listening to you earlier because you crossed several scenarios that kind of shed light in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird because when I listen to you talk, some things just get answered without me actually talking to you. I mean, I could be on hold for an hour and a half, and you would still bring up, like, when you talked about going to the grocery store, it was funny because I was actually going to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just
saying,
when I was in Colorado, I was thinking, it's like I told a friend of mine, and it seems from that point on, too, because I remember this ex-fiance I used to have. I looked at her one day, and I'm like, you know, but since you've been with me, how many miracles have you seen? And she goes, every day. I'm like, Well, it must be good. I like that comment. I don't know why. You know, sometimes I look at some of these people that I was with, and I ask myself, how come they took off and did what they did? But, you know, because it's like I told a friend of mine, I was like, this was the routine. I would get up in the mornings and take her kids to school. And each one of them had their own little times, too. So I'd walk her oldest daughter to school at 7 o'clock in the morning, come back, take the two boys to school, come back, and she's still in bed. Then I'd make her coffee and breakfast, and then I would sit there and actually do some work of my own, write in my journal and that kind of stuff and that kind of thing. And then I would clean house. And then in the process of, you know, once I get done cleaning house, and I would do some more work with my business. I would read books and just doing the whole thing. And people were like, so you're doing, and you're taking care of all the kids. I remember when we moved to this one place, we had to, it's like doing laundry. You got three kids. You ever done laundry for three kids? Well, I haven't. And I was like doing like two loads a day. And it was like she's talking about before, miracles were happening all the time, right? And I was like, well, like what? She goes, well, we got a washer and dryer. Now, we found them at this farmer's house. And there's chicken crap all over these things, right? But once they were cleaned up, they had not been used. They were brand new. And we only paid $50 for both of them. Not $50 a piece, $50 for both of them. So, you know, that was crazy in itself. And when you look at the other thing, I told people what I was doing was there were certain things I was writing in my journal, and I'd be focusing on these things and that kind of stuff. And we really did some really good manifesting when she was actually on the same page too. But I was also pointing out where I wasn't going to let anything interfere with it, even with some negative thinking that was going on, where I would just, if I had to, I would sit there and get in my journal and I would pull out certain inserts and just read them over and over and over and over again until I felt so strong about it. And then I got to the point where I was like really focusing on the strength within our gifts, because I'm really tired of Hollywood. I'm tired of watching movies and everybody talking about how it's cursed and, you know, being an empath is so overwhelming. But this goes back, like I was talking before in the beginning of the show, finding solutions, find the strength within those gifts. That's why you have them in the first place. It's your human side or the ego that tells you that it's overwhelming and all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff, you know. And I was just trying to pull that out to people and say, okay, like I said, my life was miracles every day. And you do have people who don't appreciate things, but you just got to keep going forward. And I feel like those people will be X'd out in favor of people who will appreciate it, who appreciate you. But also take a look at yourself and make sure that you do appreciate yourself, because that might actually be the key to the problem too, that you've taken so much in such a, like with relationships in general, sometimes people have a tendency to try so hard, they lose themselves. When you lose yourself, you lose your foundation. And it's like a spiral going down. But you can sit there and take a step back and say, my goodness, what did I do? Because people, we've been taught sacrifice. But they don't go any further than that to tell you that you don't sacrifice yourself. Sometimes you don't sacrifice yourself ever, who you are. It's just in certain scenarios that you get yourself into that you have a tendency to sacrifice what you would want.
But, like, define sacrifice, because you have sacrifice on many levels. You know, I guess there is no sacrifice if you have to compromise with someone.
Right? Well, you can do that. We can look at the situation like what I said to you and say, I don't like the word sacrifice. I say it's two people coming to a conclusion and a solution. Because I've seen this before with manifestations, and I can't see what we can't do in relationships. There are such things as win-win situations. So we sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, you want to go to the fights. We sit there and look at, we did this before too, where I was a woman centered going over some things, and she's like, I want to do this, and I really want to do this, and I want to do that. My ex-fiance was a prime example of that, because it was fireworks. She wanted to go to Cincinnati for fireworks. So I was like, I don't want to go. And she's like, why? Because you've never been there? Maybe you're just scared because you've never been there before. I said, no, I don't want to go. I don't think we should really go. And she finally looked at me and she goes, okay, what's up? Have you got a vision or something? And I'm sitting there going, okay, since you came right out and asked me, yes, I have. You were sitting there talking about going, I got a bad feeling. Don't go. I said, and I feel like we should not go. So, beyond, you know, I went against my own judgment on the whole thing, and still we went to go to the fireworks. In the process of going to the fireworks, guess what? our van overheated, and we broke down the freaking road. Okay? So we have some friends.
That could be compounded. That could be compounded by negative thoughts attracting negativity.
That's true, too. But when the whole thing unfolded, she said, we have some friends that were going down there. We had some friends going down to the fireworks, and we're filming them down there. So we break down. We get to this. We get to this, and it was dangerous. I mean, we're on this freaking highway. People are trying to run us over because we're getting slower and slower. So they didn't want to go around us. They wanted to run over us. So we finally get off the freaking road into a gas station. Well, they meet this person. This person that said they could give them a ride. They talked this guy into giving them a ride to the freaking fireworks. And said, well, our friends are down there. They can give us a ride back. I said, like I said before, nothing has changed. I'm still getting the same feeling that we should not go. And so they're still talking to this guy about taking them to the fireworks. This is the time where she looked at me and she said, you're just mean. I said, no. I said, I look at situations and saying, you guys are so caught up in the situation, you're not looking at what's really unfolding here, that's something we should not go. And she said, well, I'm saying right now, we should go to the fireworks. And I said, get in the car. I looked at the guy and said, you're taking us home. And she's like, okay, fine. She was mad about it. But see, when we got home, we found out that our friends didn't even make it to the fireworks. So there was nobody there to take us home. There was nobody there we knew there at all. It would have been a complete disaster. And it was amazing how people were so dead bent on disaster. But when I looked at the situation of how her life had unfolded, was because she didn't listen to herself. Because I found out later, you know, it was like later, and this is not the end of it either. See, the van broke down. We went back to the house, okay? She contacted a friend of hers to take us back down there the next day to get an assessment of the situation and see how it's going to fix up, okay? We leave her kids with somebody that she knew. When we came home, the kids were gone because supposedly the two boys had got this notion they didn't like where they was. They got out. They left that house, started walking down the neighborhood, knocking on people's doors, saying we had left them, locked them out. Well, somebody called the sheriff. Sheriff picked them up, took them down through there. We had to go through a whole freaking court case and all kinds of stuff. Even I was pulled into the whole thing. Me and her got arrested that night.
Oh.
And I was so ticked off. I was looking at this cop, and he's just sitting there asking us questions. He never told us that basically what was going to happen was it was going to arrest us and take us to jail. And I finally got this bad feeling. I just looked at the guy and said, okay, what's the bottom line here? What's going to happen? The guy goes, oh, you guys are going to jail because you let your kids out here. I said, you can say what you want, and you can do what you want. But I said, those kids were not left out here by themselves. And I said, you know, the whole – and see what I was mad about? It was because nobody listened. Everybody was listening to total strangers, but no one was listening to anybody who had any kind of freaking information. And what's so funny about it, too, when it all played itself out, the cops looked pretty embarrassed because, first of all, they should have never even arrested me in the first place because I didn't have custody of those kids. I wasn't responsible for those kids. So I was actually in Mayberry Jail. It was a little small town, Western Union. I call it Mayberry. But and what's so funny about it, too, because we were in jail getting processed. They had us out on a little table. You ever seen some of the small county jails? Have a little small table, we're sitting there talking. The next thing you know, here come Andy Griffin on the freaking television. We heard that little whistling. I was like, oh, this is really setting this thing off, isn't it? Here we are, Andy Griffin, the whole bit. Andy's here. Hey, Barn. And I swear to you, I almost was waiting for Barney to walk through the freaking door. But but it was funny. But I tell people all the time, it's like, I sit here and thought about that for so long. And she was like, I'm really sorry. I said, you shouldn't be sorry. You don't listen to yourself. That's true. And all this stuff that happened, you could sit there and look at the situation and say, yeah, you have some fault, but realistically, it wouldn't have happened if I would have listened to myself no matter what anybody said, and I didn't do that. So, and I tell people all the time, man, listen to yourself. If you got something going on, something kicking you in the side going, don't do this, you better listen. Because we had that big old chain reaction, and I felt like from that point on, our whole relationship just did a spiral down. nothing ever worked. You know, it's like nothing ever worked again. It just constant this. And I was just like, I think in somewhere, I feel like it was me not listening to myself. I lost a piece of myself too, which I actually found later on. It was under the couch. But
so yeah, it would be like lots of times people get distracted from themselves.
But like I said, it was under the couch. But when I say that it was under the couch, it means usually you lose that piece of yourself, but it's not a piece that's lost. It's something you've turned away from that you need to turn back around and embrace again. Because my abilities have saved me so many times in certain situations. I mean, I remember the very first time I ever had something kick me and it happened like that was I grabbed a friend of mine. He came from getting hit by a car. And actually, we were both crossing the street at the same time. I grabbed him. It was funny, too. I grabbed him, threw him to the freaking sidewalk. He goes, "What the hell is your problem?" 2 seconds later, it was like this car came ripping around about 80 miles per hour. First, he was mad at me. And next thing you know, he couldn't stop thanking me for the next 20 minutes. So, you know. But it's amazing that when you, those might sound like dramatic things, but realistically, in our lives, relationships and stuff like that, they're all equally important parts, and they all run together. They all affect one or the other. So, you know, you got to look at those situations. So, dear, did you call up and ask a question? I'm sorry.
Oh.
I know you said you had some questions that were pretty much answered, and some of the things you'd heard, and it kind of took care of that, but I was just wondering if that was something you really wanted.
I'm not really wanting to focus on any issues, but I do have lots of curiosity going on. But I think recently I've got involved in doing a lot of reading. I live not far from a library, so I'm taking advantage of that. And I'm reading up on metaphysics. So I came across Jonathan Edwards' books and Doreen Virtue and this other lady that does numerology. So it's pretty interesting. I'm starting to grow that knowledge. Well, not starting to. I actually have been because I've studied astrology as a child. And so I feel like I'm gravitating towards that. And I really feel good about it because when times get confusing for me and, you know, like you were talking about taking your focus off yourself when you get distracted by other people, I have found myself at least, I would say about 3 major times in the past year where I actually had to be the strong arm in a situation and decide to make a separation because it just wasn't at my best interest. It was more, it became more self-centered for the other person. And then I felt like, wait a minute, I'm not getting my stuff done. So that's why I'm home. Yeah, that's why I'm home tonight. Dealing with working on my stuff. But, you know, it's really tough because as I'm reading Jonathan Edwards' books and he talks about how lessons are repeated, you find yourself in the same situation constantly, which I do, you know, and for some reason, I don't know what it is, guys that are half my age are interested in me and then, you know, it could start out nice and chummy and everything. And as time goes by, as it starts to mature, we look at where we are in life and realize that, okay, our goals down the way do not mesh. And that's where I could not prevent someone to decide not to have children. I could not prevent someone from doing something that they need to do or want to do with their life. But at the same time, I have, as much as I would want it to work out and look for solutions and try to see if there is some compromise, I still feel like there is a lesson that has to be learned by separating ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically where I'm at. Just last night I had to say game over, basically.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he's a good person. He has lots of great intentions, a lot of motivation to be successful. But I could not narrow that scope just because I feel a little bit selfish. You know, at the same time, I like having my privacy. Are you yawning?
It's one of those days where I was like, I've been doing a lot of stuff today and watching this, that, and the other. I'm just tired. Because people say, you know, you're bored with me? And no, I'm not bored at all. So, yeah, deal. Just, whoa. I'm taking
it
all in. I'm sorry, listening to everything you said.
Yeah, well, probably how it comes to you is you've heard this story before, and it's not unusual, and you know how the pieces fall together or, you know, have to stack up. So why don't you flip some cards for me and give me what you can?
Well, I'm just saying with the situation where you were sitting talking about the ideal that, you know, guys half your age are attracted to you, and it's like sometimes we have a tendency, we need to listen to what we're saying, as in it might sound unusual or might be weird. When I read this the other day too, I've been studying some things where I was talking about when you're in the process of manifesting things, are you manifesting things because you want them or because the world tells you that's what you want? If you're having trouble, because people are asking questions about, okay, I'm having trouble manifesting something, when it could be just to clarify exactly what you're doing. You know, is it a worldly thing, or is it, because people focus on money a lot. And the one thing I focus on is take it one step further, okay? What kind of money you want? And people go, I want to make $1,000 a week. I said, but don't you really want an unlimited flow of money coming to you? Oh, yeah. But how can you get that? Probably by focusing on a flow instead of just I get $1,000 a week. I mean, I'm just saying, if $1,000 a week is good for you, or, you know, I'm just saying, think outside the box. Because we look at this situation. I'm just saying we have a tendency to go.
For my situation, it's not material. It's more spiritual because I like the fact that the younger generation is open to new things. And, you know, their inspiration comes out when they're exposed to, like, you know, innovation. So I like that, and it also fuels me, and that's where the common grounds are.
Yes, no, I understand completely, because, I mean, two people look at me and go, you're dating girls half your age, and why you do that? I said, well, first of all, because I can, and second of all, there's something about the whole thing that, for example, I mean, I hate to say this, but my ex-wife, every time I talk to her, she's always talking about she's dying. Oh, you know, I'm like, and sometimes in the point of living life, seriously, I know what you're talking about. When you're focusing on being happy, you attract happy people. So sometimes I think we should take the age and throw it out the door and say, okay, if we're just thinking about it, go, okay, if it's age is the only thing that is a problem as in something, then it's the problem. It's just the idea of looking at something that works. If it works, it works. If you're happy, you're happy. And more than likely, if you're really happy and you're with somebody who's happy, that's how it all happened. You were attracted because like tracks like. That's the same thing. And also,
the sad thing about it is there are, you know, okay, when you make a change like that, and for someone like me that goes through every day of whatever's routine and whatever I have to push up the hill to make work, you know, I have to start to reset my brain, not to think of that person, but because it's so fresh, I still have to deal with it. You know, I still have to try to find a way to keep. I mean, it's only human to experience a memory of affection if it has been recent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking for strength, really, I guess, so I can stay on track. And the hard part about it is I don't hate the person. I have really nothing against it. It's just that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad. You know, and then
right.
I think you were talking about don't pay attention to what the world's telling you, something to do with, was it you or was it the book I was reading? I'm taking in a lot of information here.
No, I'm just saying, I say the same thing. Don't let the world, it's like, what was it? Don't let the world dictate your success. You start dictating your success. And also,
okay.
Because the world is basically set like this. The world is set up for you to fail.
But you also talked about logic. You talked about logic, or was it? I think you just did recently in this this session that you said to go with the flow and just, you know, be at free will, going with the flow, and then don't throw a whole lot of analytical logic into it, because that's where it starts to change. Isn't that what you said?
Too much. Yes. Yes. No. That's what we're saying, because we're saying logic has, people have a tendency to put logic into situations to explain what happens when they should just go with the flow and be spontaneous. Because if I was logical,
see, that's where I get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's where I get in trouble. Because
that's where I have the most success.
Well, see,
okay,
because when we're together and we're just going with the flow and being spontaneous, that's great. But then when we separate, the logic sets in. You know what I'm saying?
That's fine.
So it's kind of like
that's why I feel myself in my work.
it's kind of like a split personality. When you're with the person, you're going with the flow. But then when you're separated, it's kind of like you're. I feel like I'm overthinking or over-logical, or, I mean, it almost feels so different, like, really me? And then when I'm on the other side, I can't believe I'm so serious, you know? It's one way or another. It's weird.
One way. Oh, no. Okay. No, I'm just saying, when I sit there and look at the situation, too, it's like when you're with the person, the reason you go with the flow more likely and you're more inclined to do so, and it's easy, is because you're living it. When you're not with the person, you're wishing you was living it, so therefore you start being analytical and you start thinking about certain things and that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes we do that because we want it right then and there. And that's what I was saying before. If a person is not in your life, then don't think about them. Think about you and focus on what's going on in your life, because you've got your own get your own goals and that kind of stuff too as well. Oh, by the way, we only got 90 seconds left in the show, so let me thank everybody, and then we'll go back to talking to you. So we're not done. I just want to take the time to thank everybody for calling in. Thank you for all the people who did call in, who didn't get on, who popped out, because more than likely they were thinking I was taking too long. I always say it like this: if you're thinking that's too much, and thinking I want to turn instead of actually listening. And listening what's being said, because like you were just saying yourself too, I was listening to the show and got my questions answered. So therefore, if you're mad, maybe people ducked out because they got the answers to the questions too. But I've heard so many people say I take too long with people, and I say no, I don't. That's your perception. My perception says I take as long as it takes, because I'm here to help people, not to sit there and send them down the assembly lines. Okay, I did enough. Sometimes the situations that hurts me the most is I don't think I do enough. So it's like, hey, I need to keep talking to this person, and I just want to make sure they got everything. So always remember that. So therefore, always remember, you can let God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given. And what that means, realistically, when it says give love where love is given, you know what that means? It means give love to yourself. The more love you give to yourself, the more you overflow, that love will touch everyone in your life. So it starts with you. So think about that. And we'll be here tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. And check us out through the week, too, on Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. We're here all the weekends on 2 hours. So just join us. We'll have a great time, and we'll sit down and talk about this, that, and the other. Sometimes I've been kind of caught up in the whole thing too, where I think maybe I am taking too long with people. But then again, it's like I said before, don't make decisions because the world says it. Make decisions because you feel it. So on that note, just get back to the situation and talking to our friend
that we have on the line. So I made a decision because I felt it. I made a decision to say, you know what, I can't continue because I'm starting to feel strange about this. And on the other hand, I feel like I did something wrong because it really against my morals to try to upset or hurt someone.
Uh-huh.
You know, and kind of like leave them in like a deer in headlights.
Right.
But then maybe it's because of the age they're at. They haven't experienced enough to know that what I'm seeing is what they would see. Because they can get comfortable with the routine, right? Everybody can get settled into a certain routine or a certain behavior that's acceptable to both people. And then all of a sudden, there's a clash because some event or some feeling is different between the two people. I'm split. I really would want this to work, but I don't see it working.
One thing I wanted to say to you was, I already shuffled the cards. I just need you to tell me if you want me to cut them or not.
Cut them twice.
Okay, let me get this all out. Okay, sorry. It was a little loud, huh? Anyway. Okay, we got the cards in two piles right here. Which one do you want?
The one on the left.
Okay, which one's my left? This one. Okay.
Everybody's no, my
like,
left.
Which one's your left? Okay. That doesn't help either. They're going, her left. Okay. Have you ever looked in a webcam? Everything's reversed. I'm sitting there trying to take the hair on my right side and try to do something with it, and it keeps coming on the left side. I'm going, what the hell's wrong with this camera? And I was like, this just ain't working for me, so I had to go get a mirror. Because mirrors don't do that to you. I got the last one.
It's like doing something in a mirror. Like if you had to like trim the hair on the back of your neck in the mirror, doing it reverse like.
Yeah, he actually didn't like, cut your ears off. I know. That's why I usually get someone else to do it for me. Let's see. I pulled out three cards. The first one was Life Review. This is Archangel Jeremel. It says, take inventory of your life and resolve to change or heal anything that is unbalanced. It's like looking at the situation and asking yourself, will it work out, or are you already preconceived that it won't work out? And it's like looking at the situation and I'm saying, okay, is either one of them right or wrong? It's just a way to, it's just a place to look. Because it's saying take an inventory of your life, of the situation, and let it play itself out. They're also saying that you've been taking on a lot of things too. So the number two card talks about chakra clearing, and it's Archangel Metatron, and it's basically saying call upon me and I'll help you open your chakras. And talks about I've actually looked at this card myself, and it says using sacred geometric shapes. There are certain shapes that have a tendency to have a certain energy with them. And,
yes, it's Reiki. Reiki healing. Actually, I had my class yesterday that I missed, and I'm going through the 7-week program. It's an online training course for Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a power. Those power symbols. That's what I think you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one is spiritual understanding, Archangel Razel, which is basically I'm bringing you. I can't say the word. I could if it wasn't so late. Okay, information and symbols. Let's see. I ate some pizza tonight, man, so I don't think I should have done that. The word spells like this. ESOTERIC.
Esoterical.
Thank you. Information and symbols. And helping you understand spiritual truths. Spiritual truth is like you're talking about right now, where you feel like it's almost like, do we look at the situation and go, okay, this is what you feel like you shouldn't do? Or is this intuitional? And it's basically saying that spiritual growth and spiritual things that happen in your life are making the major decisions that you have to walk away from situations or to embrace them. These are all part of the same thing. You know, sometimes it's hard to walk away from situations. But the one thing I've noticed, too, with situations, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. When you make a decision, people are affected. That's a proven fact. And I've had people sit here and say, okay, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I'm dating two guys. What am I going to do? Well, I realize one person's going to be dancing, and the other person's going to be shooting themselves. So, you know, you should have thought about that before you put yourself in the situation. But,
no,
you know,
see, that's
the idea.
Yeah, that is scary, and I don't want to fall in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Let's put two. You know, the biggest thing, and also what you're, we're doing a three card pyramid spread. Which basically what we do is we put three cards, then we put two and one, and we build it just like a pyramid. You ever seen pyramid? You ever seen a pyramid? I seen someone do a pyramid the other day, and it's basically they put the cards out in a triangle. And I said, well, that to me is not a pyramid; it's a triangle. But you know. Perception, of course, but I said my spread came to me like this when it was a seven. It was in the idea of seeing a pyramid. A pyramid has blocks on top of blocks, and that's what we do with the cards. Cards on top of cards. And when you look at the cards, it's kind of funny how the cards fall into place too. I'm telling you, you know, you got three. We put two cards on top of your three, right? So now we have. When you look at the cards, they can be interpretive of three cards and three cards. There's always three cards touching each other. So it's stories within stories, information with information. And the one that I guess we told you about spiritual understanding, right? Well, on the second level, right on top of the life review and chakra clearing is spiritual growth. So you have spiritual understanding, spiritual truth, and spiritual growth. And then the next one, which is actually touching the chakra clearing card and touching the spiritual understanding card, is dreams. Now, when I sit here and look at the situation, I see it more like focus on your dreams. Not in the sense of messages through your dreams, which I feel like you do get messages through your dreams, but it was more of, it's more of like having a list. These are my dreams. These are the things I want to do. These are the things I want to accomplish. And when things don't really fall into place with those situations, and you start realizing people and situations, that kind of stuff, are not really part of that, and you feel like you need to make a decision to walk away from it, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. But when I put your final card on top of the other ones, it's balance. So it definitely gives you an insight on the whole thing of saying you need to follow through with what you need, what you already know you need to do, no matter what anybody else says. No matter how much you want to talk yourself out of it. Because this is one thing, what I was trying to say was people get hurt, not because of what you say, it's because of how they take it. So basically what's really hurting them is they're hurting themselves by if they're going to let that inner talk, that inner voice, it's either going to feed into it or it's going to build them up or it's going to tear them down. Whatever. So you say it, then they're going to interpret it. But from what they interpret and how they interpret it, that's either the pain comes from or the realization. Because we've seen people before in situations, I've seen people like this, where you tell them the truth. You say, we need to do something, we need to walk away. And they agree. But see, I didn't, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in making the decision that we're not really connecting with that person to realize we probably already would have known right then and there that they was on the same page we was. But we were so caught up in worrying about what was going to happen, we could have saved ourselves some time. So that's what I'm saying here. It's like balance. You have to maintain balance within your life to follow through with what you feel like you really need to do, no matter what happens on the other end. Because it's like looking at a situation realistically. I mean, sure, there's people who go out there and intensely you know, with malice and meanness to actually really hurt people. You've seen this. Like, I had to tell this person the truth because the truth, and all they were really trying to do was really trying to do it, you know, trying to sting this person. But there's other situations where we try to tell people because it's the best for everybody involved. Those are totally different. The pain still happens, in some sense of the word, too, but it's one of those things that the realization of why it happened will happen later on.
Yeah, and sometimes later on it's a lot worse because you're a little bit more tangled with that person. You know, it's been a year, actually. I've been knowing this person. It's been a year. And actually went through several personal tribulations or actually situations that was very health.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, it's my mom. It's like, she didn't just put my stuff in a bag. She tied them in a freaking knot. You know how it is to pull a book out and say, I got a book for you. As soon as I get a saw and cut this damn bag open. That's not a negative thing. That was just expression.
Well, no, you don't have a pair of scissors?
You know, with my mom, you're right. I should carry a pair of scissors and a freaking sheath on my side so I can actually get into these things.
A sickle.
Sickle, yeah. So I was sitting there going, there's a great book out there by John Randolph Rice. It's called The Alchemist's Handbook. You should try it out. It's from an ancient formula, The Secret of the Ages. We find the perception. We find the percept. I want to say perceptions, but it doesn't say perceptions. It perceives. Oh, we find the perceives to percepts. This is why we should do. Like, we should do shows a little earlier. Where all you have ever wanted is brought into material form and physical experience. It talks about alchemy, and it talks about the different forms of alchemy. There's also a thing called divine alchemy.
What's the name of the book?
That's the idea.
Alchemist?
It's called The Alchemist Handbook.
Okay.
Buy it now. Get it on Amazon.com. A guy named John, by John Randolph Price. And I actually have Evolve with John Edwards. Meditations and Music and Evidence. I can't say it. And Finance. That's it. It's a nice little CD. Oh, actually, it looks like a DVD. Actually, I joined this group called The Five. John Edwards on his website. I was checking it out, man. Yeah, just the other day, I was checking it out.
So you know who I'm talking about, the book that I'm reading.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch him. I used to watch him all the time.
It's called Infinite Quest. Is that with the Infinity Quest or Infinite Quest? Is that the website you've seen? Infinite Quest.
Good question. All I know is I found John Edwards on Facebook, and I was connecting with friends on Facebook, so I decided I wanted to connect with Dorian Virtue, you know, John Edwards, and other psychics and stuff like that. So people I've been compared to a lot of other people, and I felt like then I should actually converse with them too. So maybe we could all work together somewhere down the road too, you know.
Yeah, he does have activities on his website.
Yeah, he has the one where it's like you join up, and I can't remember what it was, like $9.99 a month or something. And I was checking it out. And then I guess you have a chance each month to get a free reading or win a reading from him, which is valued at like $200. I can't remember. It was either $200 or $700. And then just a couple of things here and there. I thought it was interesting. I mean, it was only like $9, like we talk about $10 a month.